In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is from our epistle reading, Romans, the third chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not sure we need to celebrate Reformation Day anymore. Aren't 503 years enough? I mean, what's the purpose anyway? Is it just to celebrate Luther's posting of the 95 Theses for debate on the church door in Wittenberg? Statements which I would guess most Lutherans probably have never read. And if they do read them or have read them, then they would easily or have easily seen that Luther, back in 1517, still actually believed in purgatory, indulgences, and penance. So again, what is the purpose? To celebrate some Germanic culture or a tribe of Saxons who immigrated to practice German Lutheranism? Or is it to talk about how Luther rebelled and stood up against that mean old pope so that at the very least we don't have to be Catholic anymore? Perhaps it's simply an excuse for us every 31st of October to eat some brats and drink some beer. Or, if you prefer more piety than that, it's an opportunity for us to sing, "A mighty fortress is our God." What exactly is the purpose of celebrating Reformation Day? If the center of the Reformation was Luther's search for a struggle to find a gracious and merciful God, is that even still relevant anymore? Think about it. Luther searched the scriptures and found that God was righteous and holy and perfect, and that he, Martin Luther, was not. And this terrified him because he knew that he must stand before the judgment seat of God on the last day. And no matter how hard he tried, he knew deep down inside that he was inadequate, that he was by nature sinful and unclean. No matter how hard he tried, no matter how hard he appeased and tried to appease people or appeared, for that matter, to anyone else, no matter what he did, there was absolutely no chance of him being found righteous. He tried everything that he could. He confessed all his sins, and if he forgot one, he went right back into the confessional and confessed it. He disciplined his flesh. He lived as a monk and denied himself the worldly pleasures. He memorized the Psalms and kept all the prayer offices, which means that Luther went to church 7 times a day. And he felt guilty if he missed one of these or didn't pay attention and pray with his whole heart while he was there. It wasn't until he read Romans chapter 3 that he found God to be merciful. He had probably read hundreds of times before this passage, but this time was different. He saw something that he had never seen before. Yes, the righteousness of God was God's alone, but God's righteousness was actually something he freely gave to sinners in the person and work of Jesus Christ, a righteousness that came apart from the law or any works that the law demanded. Finally, Luther had peace. Finally, he saw a merciful God to whose promise he could cling, and when he was confronted with the judgment of wrath and God, he could hold fast to Jesus and Jesus alone. But if that mercy in Christ is the end of a search for justification, of being in a right relationship with God, what does it mean when in our current day and age, people no longer feel the weight of their sin, that anxiety, that angst, that guilt and shame that Luther felt before a righteous and holy God? In our 21st century, American culture that values and demands individual rights and individual freedoms, almost anything goes. I have the right, and freedom to do what I want, when I want, with whomever I want, and who are you to tell me that I can't? Thus, many of Christians and Christian churches have replaced the angry, judgmental view of God from the Middle Ages with the loving, open, accepting, tolerant God who lets me do whatever I want, whenever I want to do it, and is always pleased with me no matter what. The enlightened God of this day and this age. And we assume that God likes me and is pleased with me the way that I am. No matter what I do, no matter what I like, even if it's contrary to his word, he still accepts me just as I am and welcomes me without any demands. He finds intrinsic value and worth in me. That is, I am worthy of his love because of who I am and what I do. And if that is how you view God, if God is pleased with all your thoughts, all your words, all your actions, if God is generally happy and accepting no matter what you do and no matter what you say, then why would we ever need a kind of God that's high and lifted up on the cross and dies for sinners? Sin's irrelevant. Justification is irrelevant. And the mercy that Luther searched for from God is irrelevant. Who needs to be justified before that God? Who needs to go to church if in the end everything's just going to turn out okay anyway? God demands nothing. He needs nothing. So just go on and live your life however you want to live it, just like you are. Do whatever you want, whenever you want to do it, with whomever you want. The only thing you need to do, and the only thing God needs for you to do, is to recognize how great you are and live up to your fullest potential and dreams. But if that is true, if we are so great, why are so many of your days spent trying to convince others that you are right, that you are good, and that your ways and your methods are best, that people should follow you, believe what you say, love you, respect you, and honor you? Why do you feel the need to justify yourself and your actions? Have you noticed this? Self-justification is everywhere. All the political candidates are trying to justify themselves and their records, defending themselves from any accusations and charges, trying to justify their candidacy and their election. And then you have voters trying to justify voting for this candidate or for that candidate. And whether you're on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Snapchat, and the like, or not, one of the primary purposes for social media is to justify yourself. Justify the way I look, or the way I spend my time, or the way I choose to have fun, or the food I choose to eat, or how I choose to exercise, or where I took a vacation. Isn't much of that just simply self-justification? Looking for affirmation and love for others and approval? A chasing after a click or the like button, a text or a picture response, an affirmation of love. How much anxiety and depression comes from a failure to justify myself, even suicide? How often do we despair of life itself and attempt to justify ourselves? We do almost nothing but search for justification. And whether you recognize it or not, That search for justification, it's all about appeasing a God. Whether it's the God of scriptures, or it's the God of myself, or the God of family, or the God of sports, or the God of entertainment, or the God of money, or the God of people that I've never met. They're all very jealous, quite frankly, when it comes to their worship. All of this is what the law says to those who are under the law. The law demands self-justification. No excuses, no rationalizations. Do this, do that, do all of it. Prove your worth. The law is built into the world, whether we want to recognize it or not. It constantly reminds us that something is not quite right. We are never quite enough. You are not the friend. You are not the parent. You are not the child. You are not the man. You are not the woman that you know that you should be. You're not even the one that you could be or portray yourself to be to others. You fail God. You fail others. And you fail yourself time and time and time again. And try as you may to say otherwise. Try as you may to dress it up differently to your family and friends. All the appeals are denied. All the extenuating circumstances are ruled inadmissible. All the lawyers of self-justification have their objections overruled. There is nothing left to say. Case closed. There is no excuse. Every mouth is stopped, every tongue is silenced, and the whole world held accountable before the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then what? Either a despair and a hopelessness at the failure of self-justification, or a word that comes from outside of you. See, in the midst of all this self-justifying talk, God speaks. He speaks his word into flesh, and he puts forward a righteousness that has nothing to do with you or I justifying ourselves. It is his own righteousness, and it comes in the form of a bloodied body on the cross, blood shed covering the mercy seat of God. Every other religion in the world is a religion of morality, and you working to justify yourself in order to appease whatever God it is, whether it be transcendent being or just simply yourself. But this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the only God who puts forward his own propitiation, his own sacrifice, his own Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. He will be righteousness, and his righteousness is in Jesus Christ, justifying those for whom there is no justification. All searching, all struggling, all attempting to justify your words, your actions, and your value, your worth, your life, they come to an end. Finally, there at the cross of Jesus. Here at the cross of Jesus, here is your justification. Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Lord, who gives his righteousness to you in the waters of holy baptism. There, he says to you, I have chosen you and not rejected you. You are no longer my enemy. You are my child, a son for whom I love. Here is your justification. Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Lord, who gives you his righteousness in holy absolution, as he says to you in the face of the sins that you have committed and the moments you regret, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Here is your justification. Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins and life of the world, given to you here in Holy Communion, to eat and to drink his own body and blood, and then to depart in his peace. Knowing your sins are forgiven, Jesus is with you, and you have eternal life in his eternal name. And now, all those mouths once shut up by the law are opened by Christ to praise him, to confess him and to depart in his peace. This word, this righteousness, this tangible mercy in words, in water, in bread and wine, this Jesus is the only reason ever to celebrate Reformation Day, is the only reason to be a Christian. It's the only reason we call ourselves Lutheran, not because of Martin the man, but because of the gospel in which he proclaimed. Here, today, and every week, there is rest from all the work we do of justifying ourselves. It always fails. But Jesus never does. This day, once again, the Son has set you free. And if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. To him be glory forever. Amen.